Hello there and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. Joining myself, David Jennings, to preview all the action on a jam-packed weekend that includes the final classic of the season at Doncaster, the St. Ledger, of course. And we've got the Irish Champions Festival is our betting editor, Keith Melrose. We've got our Irish handicapper, Johnny Pearson. And we've got Ed Nicholson from our sponsors, Unibet. What a cracking weekend. We've got to get stuck into here, boys. And we've got some fantastic offers for viewers and listeners as well. In the 2:25 at Doncaster, we've got an extra place with Unibet. In the 3 o'clock, there's money back, second and third. So if you're back second or third in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster on Saturday, you get your money back. And the only place to have a bet on the St. Ledger is with Unibet, because they are industry best price from 9 o'clock on Saturday morning on every runner in the St. Ledger. So no excuse not to bet with Unibet. And at Chester in the 2:05 is the Super Boost, where you get the next biggest price on every horse and the horse you fancy in the race. And in the 2:40, there is an extra place as well. So without further ado, boys, let's get cracking. And we kick off on Saturday with the 1:50. It is the Champagne Stakes. It's a Group 2. And Chancellor is your 5-2 favourite at the moment. These are the best prices in the industry. Right here, right now, is 7-2. Wolf of Badenoch is 6-1. Bay City Roller, 7-1. Monumental is 20-1, and Aftermath is 25-1. Right, betting editor Keith Melrose, right here, right now, I want the winner of the Champagne Stakes, please.
Well, it's not right here, right now, unfortunately. It's not from my perspective, anyway. So I couldn't see why Wolf of Badenoch wasn't shorter for this. I mean, he ran last two, second run, he ran in the Vintage Stakes at Goodwood, and just hated every minute of it at Goodwood, and yet still managed to finish a really good second. On that, he's well clear on official ratings, he's well clear on Racing Post ratings, and yet he's priced up much bigger than Chancellor, who did look pretty good here last time, and you might cite that course experience, but Wolf of Badenoch won his debut at Doncaster, so you know he's going to handle the track, even though he's improved quite a bit since, and I just thought that price was way out of whack, and he's got a lot more promise than that suggests. You know, there's a lot of stamina on his damn side of his pedigree. Bred to stay a mile and a half, really that side, but Pinatubo's his sire, which gives him that little bit of early zip, and he showed that at Goodwood belatedly. So I just thought he was a wrong price compared to the favourite.
Okay, that's Wolf of Badenoch for Keith Melrose. A strong case as well. He's roughly around about 7-2. I did say sixes, but the sixes has long dried up since declaration time. So around about 7-2 for Wolf of Badenoch for Keith Melrose. Johnny, what do you like in the Champagne Stakes?
Yeah, I'm with Keith on this. I like Wolf of Badenoch as well. You know, I thought the vintage run, the vintage Goodwood, was as good a piece of form as anything else in this race, if not better. I think the Godolphin winner, Amori City, looks very useful. And as Keith said, I think he should probably be the favourite for the race. You know, he's clear on ratings, he's clear on RPRs, and yeah, he should be favourite for the race, and he's got to be a bet at the price.
So what price would that Godolphin horse be if you ran in this race? You know, the Godolphin horse that won at Goodwood.
Amori City, yeah.
Odds on, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. There you go. Right, two strong votes for Wolf of Badenoch. Can you make a three, Ed?
Yeah, let's make it three in the opening contest. I agree with everything that the experts have said. I think he'd probably go a favourite. He is rated much higher. And if you watch the replay at Goodwood, you're quite right. He was hating every minute of it. He was pushed along from the start. And it wasn't until in the closing stages that he kind of got ahead of himself and ran on. He came into that race as the least experienced horse in that contest. So he would have gained much more experience for that run. He's top rated, albeit they haven't run that often, and at 100 to 30 with Unibet at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if this went off favourite. He seems to tick a lot of the boxes, so totally agree, Wolf of Badenoch.
Okay, there we go. It's all very lovey-dovey in the opener. Wolf of Badenoch should be favourite, according to Johnny Pearson, and Keith Melrose and Ed are both very keen on Wolf of Badenoch. That's in the 1:50, moving on to the 2:25. It does get trickier, let me tell you. But fortunately, in the 2:25, we have an extra place with Unibet. And Shagran is currently your favourite. Shagran, what a legend Shagran has become, in around about 7-1 at the moment. Al-Bashir seems to run in all these top sprints. He's available about 10-1. American Affair also tends. Cover Up, my own personal fancy in the race. Cover Up is 12-1, is the best price you can get about Cover Up. And Bergerac is 14s. I fancy Cover Up here. I think Cover Up one of these days is going to land a big sprint, and I think this is it. I thought he was really eye-catching at York, and I think the extra kind of 100 yards or so here is really going to suit. Cover Up, it is Cover Up for me. Ed, what do you like?
Yeah, I wouldn't put anyone off Cover Up. It's for the same reasons you're saying. I think he's a horse that's just waiting for a big handicap. This 5.5 furlongs might be ideal. Drawn 21 as well, which is kind of been key. High draws have, or middle to high draws have been quite active in this race over the years. I think 17 of the last 22 have been double-figure stall wins. My eye was taken by, it's going to be, most people could choose this horse anyway, but Shargram, the favourite, 10-1. I thought he put in a really good performance last time out in the B Friendly, which was only last week. He came there and won in a photo finish with three or four other horses, but he won it quite easily. The handicapper suggests that that was his best run ever. He's now off 101. The ground will be fine. He's won over six furlongs, which again is quite an interesting stat. 18 of the last 22 winners of this race have won over six furlongs. So, you know, five furlong, six furlong horses will obviously compete in this race. But if you do stay well over the six furlong, it is seen as a positive. Shagran's done that in his career. And the ground will be okay. So Mick Appleby's won the race, won it last year, I think, if my memory serves. So everything's positive for Shagran, who's at the top of his form. Three-year-old as well, which could be positive with the concessions. And Ross Ryan in the plate, who I think is riding one of the best jockeys in the country at the moment. So, yeah, 10-1 is favourite, but Shagran for me.
Okay, so it's one vote for Shagran, one vote for Cover Up. Johnny Pearson, you're next.
I'm not sure we've got the best record where we both like the same horse, DJ, but I like to Cover Up at Ascot. I like to Cover Up at Goodwood. I like to Cover Up at York. surely this weekend's going to be his day. You know, you keep look back faith to that. All-weather run at Newcastle, he won in February. You know, that was a really, really good performance. I think maybe a bit more ease in the ground on Saturday, potentially, compared to what he's been running on most recently, might be of assistance to him. And yeah, I think he's got big race win in him somewhere, but it's just when that win comes is the question. You know, and last time he didn't have the clearest of runs. It was a little bit unfortunate, and I think he should be able to be disappointed if he wasn't in the frame at the very least. But just yesterday, Keith was letting me know how he could spend 40 minutes talking about this race. So I'm sure he's got plenty of good insight for us to come next.
Unfortunately, two of you have put up the same horse I've ultimately come down on. I mean, there's 100. There's 22 runners, so there's not 100. But you could talk about the chances of so many of these. Since the dawn of time, any time a horse has finished fast over five or finished a bit weakly over six, they've always said, oh, yeah, Portland for you. It's always been, but what's more significant about the Portland, more than it being one of very few 5.5 furlong majors handicaps, is that it's the only one at Donny, and Donny doesn't bend towards early pace on the straight track the same way that a lot of straight tracks do. You know, you look, Gettits in this race that won the Stewards Cup. You can't win a Portland, well, you can, but it's very rare to win a Portland the way he did win the Stewards Cup. That's a very, it's a very different race like that. You get horse, the last four winners of this have all come from the back, which is very rare for a big sprint handicap. That makes this race more unique than the fact it's over 5.5 furlongs for me. That said, Cover Up is the one I've come down on because this horse has been absolutely crying out to just go back that little bit in trip. Looked very good on the all-weather at Newcastle. And there's this old wives' tale that does actually have the numbers behind it about all-weather form at Doncaster and Ascot. And you know, he ran a good race in the in Wokingham, ran a really promising race in the Stewards' Cup, just not quite seeing it out, and ditto in that race at York last time where he got held up in his run, still managed to burst through and challenge before he just ran out of puff a little bit. Just taking that little bit off him. He only really has one run, so he's going to have to come from the back. I think Kieran Schumacher's going to hold on to him and come with one run near the finish. But that's the sort of, this is the race where you can get away with that. And I quite like where that draw is too. Gettit, who we talked about, is drawn in 18 cover-ups in 21. I would worry about such a wing draw sometimes because there's only 22 runners, but you've got possibly the pace angle in the whole race three stalls away. So I'm not concerned about the draw. I think the track's going to be great. I think a little bit less emphasis on stamina just and letting him come with that late withering run is going to hopefully, today's the day for Cover Up. I've been with him for as long as you guys have, and Johnny at least, and I think this might be the day for him. It's a very tough race. You know, there's 12 winners that wouldn't surprise me, but I'd be putting him in narrow favourite.
Okay, there we go. Cover up. 3 votes for cover up. I think Saturday is the day for cover up. It's all going to come together. Cover up currently an 8-1 shot with Unibet. And Shagran for Ed, who's currently your 7-1 jolly at the moment with Unibet. Moving on to the 3:00. And it is, of course, the Park Stakes, the Group 2 over 7 furlongs. And that lovable Kinross is back in action. Kinross currently your 9-4 favourite. Lead Artist 130. Lake Forest is 9-2. 6-1 Pope Master. Al Shabaab Storm is 7-1. And it is 16-1 bar. And I know from speaking before the show that one member of our party is extremely keen on a horse here. And it's a nice juicy price too. So take it away, Mr. Johnny Pearson.
Yeah, that horse would be Poet Master for Carl Burke. It wasn't the strongest race last time at the Curra, but couldn't have won more easily. It was so impressive. Hit the line, sort of eased down a bit. If that form, beating Percy's Lad and Zuki, you know, didn't run badly behind Charles Ash at Haydock in May. And I think, you know, it was 7 furlongs, clearly his trip. Kinross is on, probably on, you know, not been running badly, but for me, isn't the horse he was. And, you know, Lead Artist, a bit of an unknown. But I think on the form we've got in there this season, I think Poet Master is by far the best, and I think it's a really, really good bet.
Right, there was 2 reallys there. So a really, really good bet, Poet Master, for Johnny Pearson. Ed, do you agree?
It was one horse I looked at, but I didn't come down with him. First thing to say, this is the money back second or third race. So if you do fancy a horse here and he does come second or third, you will get your money back. Terms and conditions apply. Please go to the website to look at that. And I should have said there is obviously an extra place in the Portland handicap the race before. But I had a real strong fancy in this race. And it was Lake Forest, or it is Lake Forest. I think he's crying out for 7 furlongs. His 2 runs, he's been running on from the back over 6. He's run like a horse as well up to this grade. Group 2, obviously came second in the Commonwealth Cup of Group 1 race and then second last time out in a Group 2 race, Group 3 race, the Hackwood. So the way his style suggests, he's going to be a 7 furlong horse, I think. And they pulled him out of a 7 furlong race recently because of the ground. Owned by my old boss, Tony Bloom, who's getting into racing in a big time style this last 24 months and we'll, I think, have plenty of big race winners in the next few years. Kieran Fallon takes the ride. It's a busy old weekend for William Haggis. There's plenty of stable jockeys everywhere, and we'll talk about that later on. But I think Lake Forest has got everything in his favour. Also, the race for me, I mean, when you follow horses like we do, you kind of think of them at their best and you just follow them in. So when I looked at the race, I like Poet Master, but I also like Kinross because he's been an absolute star of 7 furlongs. But when you look at his form this year, I like to look at the BHA performance rate figures from a race. He hasn't been performing anywhere near his 112 mark. He's come down a couple of pounds as well because of that fact. He's been in the 100s. He's definitely not the horse he was last year. That might be down to the ground. It might be because when the soft ground comes, he'll get better, but it isn't. It's good ground. And I thought Kinross was definitely a favourite worth taking on. And Lake Forest had every attribute I possibly could want in this game, in this race. He's crying out for 7. He's lightly raced. He's run well in higher quality races. And William Haggis is in form. Incidentally, his performance rating last time out was 110. So he's improving, and he's actually on the top of his game, where horses like Kinross are probably not at the top of his game. So, yeah, very strong fancy here, Lake Forest.
Oh, the two boys are going head-to-head. One very strong vote for Lake Forest. One very strong vote for Poet Master. You have the deciding vote, Mr. Keith Melrose.
I think I'm actually making it unanimous, because I think what runs through all our cases here is that we all really want to get Kinross beat. We all think he's not come back the horse he was. He's what, 7?
I fancy Kinross.
You fancy Kinross? I mean, there is an allowance for him not being the same horse as before in his price, because the Kinross of 2022 or 2023 is what, 5-4? You know, so there's an allowance in that price for him regressing. But at the same time, if he's as gone as his last 2 runs look out, he should be able to put zeros on the end of what he's done, or his price, sorry, because
I think you're being harsh on his last run. I thought it was a mess of a race.
It was a bit of a mess of a race. It was N minus 1 bad rides, wasn't it, I suppose. So it's, yeah, there is that to it. He's, So I just still think at 5-2, that's still a third of the book that horse has taken out when he looks like he's not what he was. And that's where you want to get against him. And I'm with Ed on Lake Forest. I've been watching this horse over six, and he's, you know, Commonwealth Cup looked like he wanted seven, ran the Hackwood, looked again like he wanted seven, and he's getting it now. Has a lot in his favour in that regard. You know, on RPRs, you know, Johnny's gone very positively on the Burke horse in that race last time. But on RPRs, Lake Forest a pound off, and that's over an inadequate trip. So I would come down on him. I think the main thing is, let's try and get Kinross beat. Let's push all our chips in and suggest that's a third of the market that's just a free money for us, and hope that's the way it goes. And Lake Forest, the one I've come down on, but yeah, I think that's what unites all of us, except from yourself. Now, you can sit there and make the case for Kinross, please, DJ, but I think that what unites all of our cases is that none of us think he's the horse he was.
Well, he mightn't be. And with Kinross, for me, like, Portmaster is a horse I've loved. I've gone on these podcasts and said time and time again, I think Portmaster is an absolute star, and he produced the goods, and it was a kind of a, you know, it was an open goal as such last time, but the car was a good piece of place. But I just think with Kinross, I think if you were to get terms and conditions for a horse, even a horse that's not as good as he was, this is it. This is trip, this is track, this is ground. I think he has basically everything. I think there's going to be just enough cutting it for him. And I just think we're reading too much into the race last time at Goodwood. And you just go back to his run at Newcastle. Yes, he was beaten, but just being beaten by Montasib is not looking so bad now, folks. So I'm very much in the Kinross camp.
In a softer ground, isn't he, DJ?
Yeah, but I don't think, just even looking at Doncaster, I don't think it's going to be rattling quick at all. I think he'd be fine.
We're recording this as the sort of first races of the festival are going off, so we don't know yet. I reckon the ground's going to be soft side of good.
Yeah,
I don't think the ground's going to beat Kinross. I don't think the ground will beat Kinross.
Okay, well, hopefully nothing would beat Kinross, because I fancy him. So it's Kinross for me. I'm on my own, I'm sorry. Johnny Pearson is extremely keen on Portmaster, and it is 2 votes for Lake Forest. Moving on to the final classic of the season. It's at 3:40 at Doncaster on Saturday. It is, of course, the St. Ledger. And with Unibet, your 7-4 favourite is Illinois. Jan Brugel is 4-1. You Got to Me, the supplement that You Got to Me for 50 grand is 4-1. It is 5-1 about the Tearaway, Grosvenor Square. Then you're getting into slightly juicier prices. 6-1 about Sunway. Dare a Mile is 14-1. 66-1. Wild Waves. So, Mr. Betting Editor, you've just got Kinross beaten. What wins the St. Ledger?
Thank God we've got the Art Trials and Irish Champions weekend on as well, because if this weekend was in the Portland, of course, too, because that's the absolute best race of the weekend. Because if this weekend was relying on the Ledger, it would be a disappointment, wouldn't it? It's just a bad race, really. The Seven Runners is really a killer, because the Deer a Mile angle each way is gone now. I put him up on Antipost price-wise yonks ago. He's been beaten since, and he's a bigger price now. But, you know, if you backed him then, you've at least got the three places running for you. He's the sort of horse that will run into that, because he's been aimed at it. He's probably going to show a little bit more for this longer trip and whatnot. And, you know, and failing that with the each way play, you just look at the O'Brien horses and just the numerical strength they've got. But Illinois, I do not like. He runs like a drunk under pressure, does Illinois. I don't like him at all. Even though he's the best horse in the race, probably. But, you know, Jan Brugel, he's slower than a week in the jail. And I hope for the sake of the race, as much as anything, that maybe You Got to Me can do it. I think it's a very good supplement, actually. You know, 50 grand, she doesn't quite make her money back if she's fourth, and she makes a profit if she's third. And given there's only seven turned up and it's the race it is, it's actually one of the better 50 grand somebody will spend. I wish I could spend it as frivolously as that, but it's not going to be a bad investment, I don't think. And I hope she can win, because she's been going the right way. You know, she came into the Irish Oaks very much unheralded, having been sort of pushed into the Oaks and the Ribblesdale maybe a bit before she was ready, stepped up at the Curragh and then run another blinding race in the Yorkshire Oaks. Just a horse that's going the right way. Doesn't have star quality, but what she does get is a bit of weight for six. So I think that can be vital in a race that's not all that hot much cop, and I hope she wins.
Okay. 50 grand, we know, is about a quarter of your yearly salary, Keith. So you probably could afford it, to be honest. And given what you said about Illinois and Jan Brugel, It's probably a right time to say hello to Aidan O'Brien, who's a big fan of the show, and thanks for listening. Hopefully you'll listen again next week. Johnny, what do you fancy in St Leger?
I mean, I wouldn't say I fancy anything that strongly. It doesn't look a particularly strong race. Illinois is...
And I'm falling asleep listening to you here. Go on.
Now, Illinois probably should win on form, but I wouldn't be convinced he's going to actually get the job done. Graves and Square is probably one of the most interesting ones. It's hard to know what to make of it.
What's he going
to
do?
Well, if he does what he did last time, he's got a very good chance of winning. But it's hard to know what to make. You know, 1/20 length's absurd. Obviously, didn't turn up in that race. And I think, you know, he's got the time of the race was good, though. He won a decent time. And if he turns up, 11-2 might be too big a price about the 3 Aidan O'Brien horses.
To be fair, if a horse goes off 10 lengths in front, wins and doesn't record a good time, then you've got to ask some serious questions that a horse is behind. He has to have gone quick, doesn't he?
Mm.
So what did you come down on there, Johnny, in the end? I know you're not a big over
tentative,
in the race,
but... A tentative each, not each way, a tentative play on Grosvenor Square.
Grosvenor Square, okay. So you got to meet in Grosvenor Square so far. No love whatsoever for Illinois, who I fancy. Ed, what do you like in the St. Ledger?
Well, first of all, given this is the Racing Post podcast, I think it's probably key for us to say it'd be the first St. Ledger for many a year that Howard Wright won't be attending. Such a stalwart of the racing press room, and it'd be sad for him not to be there. He loved his home race, so that'll be sad. And you know, the race itself is not a particularly great race. I totally agree with what Keith said. The only thing I would say is I think Aidan O'Brien's going to win it, but I don't know which one, because they've all got a chance. Obviously, Grosvenor Square is going to go over 100 miles an hour, which will suit both Illinois and Jan Brueghel. Jan Brueghel is obviously a work in progress and may improve, but he does look like it takes him a mile and a half to get into gear, which will obviously help that Grosvenor Square goes off 100 miles an hour. But I just thought Illinois brings the best form into the race and was probably the obvious selection. Aidan O'Brien's won this race 4 times in the last 11 years. You know, he's got the key to it, hasn't he? And I thought of the three, Illinois was the most logical, but you wouldn't be surprised if one of the other two Aidan O'Brien horses won. I don't think the other three will win, but it's a good case that Keith's made for You Got To Me. But yeah, Illinois for me.
Yeah, the most logical choice. And I think this is probably one race where you have to kind of trust the Ballydoyle camp and the vibes very much. I've been getting certainly in the last 3 or 4 weeks is that Illinois is very much number one straight away. A couple of weeks ago, Wayne is riding him. Ryan is going to Leopardstown, and we'll find jockeys for the other two, but it was important to get, you know, one of their men on Illinois, and that's what's happened. So I think sometimes you just have to believe the stable. I know they don't always get it right, but I think this is just maybe one occasion where we need to trust Aidan. So it is Illinois for me, Illinois for Ed, it is Grosvenor Square, the tearaway for Johnny Pearson, and Keith is with the supplemented. You Got To Me. Have you heard about the Racing Post Insider? Here's what you need to know. Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast, proudly brought to you by Unibet. And for the second half of the show, we've still got Keith Melrose, we've still got Johnny Pearson, and we've still got Ed Nicholson. And we're going to preview the action at Chester on ITV, as well as a corking Irish Champions Stakes as well. Of course, it is the Irish Champions Festival. But the next race we're going to preview is the 205 at Chester. It's the Chester Virginbet Stan Cup Stakes. It's over a mile and a half, and it is quite a tidy little heat. La Yaquelle is currently your 6-4 favourite, 15-8 Alcaraz. Burdett Road, that juvenile hurdler from last season, is 10-1. It's 11-1 Iron Line. And 14-1, the Irish Raider, Star Harbour from the Aidan McGuinness stable. So, Johnny, we'll start with you here at Chester. Will La Yaquelle land this prize?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it was pretty impressive last time. Second behind Certain Lad, albeit back in October, is looking a pretty useful piece of form after Certain Lad went and won in France last weekend. But I think Star Harbour for Ado McGuinness is probably overpriced. I'm not saying he's going to win the race, but the eight runners in there, I think he should have as good a chance as the majority in there. And looks, I mean, obviously, I've taken quite a positive view on him. You know, you can tell that by looking at the RPRs. The one concern there would be the ground, but he's won on heavy ground last year, so I wouldn't be overly concerned, Mike. And I think, yeah, Star Harbour should have a good chance at the price of each way play. Yeah,
that's what you love here when somebody's making a case. I'm not saying he's going to win. No. Not saying he's going to win, but you do think he's overpriced.
Yeah. Well, you should hit the frame, I think.
Yeah, brilliant. That is Star Harbour. Ed, we'll come to you next.
Yeah, first of all, it's a super boost race, which means that you'll get the next price up on the price ladder from 9 o'clock on Saturday for each of the horses in the race. And the key to this race is the going, heavy. Obviously, we know you've got to go with a horse that likes soft ground. Yarlakel absolutely loves soft ground. Every race that he's won has had soft in the description. And he won over heavy on heavy ground last time out at Hamilton. And it could be another win for William Haggis this weekend. I think he's going to have a really good weekend. We say that nearly every weekend, don't we? But I think he will. Adam Farragut going to take the ride on this favourite. The heavy performance win last time out at Hamilton was certainly nice on the eye. But when you back it up, as I say, I go to the BHA site and look at the performance figures. And Mark Ollie, who's the handicapper for this distance, actually put this horse on the best performance that he's ever raced. So he's done that on heavy ground. That was only 22 days ago. A lot of the other horses are actually not performing as well as their handicap rating would suggest. So, yeah, I thought it was a very strong favourite given the ground conditions.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'd agree with you. We're on the same page a lot of the time, Ed. Keith?
Yeah, it's a different beast chester sometimes in Ulm compared to the rest of the season. And I did quite like the clue you dropped there in the intro. You can tell us that the Racing Post sales are feverishly working on a big jump off without actually telling us, because Burnett Road was a juvenile hurdler from last season rather than a Royal Ascot winner. So we're obviously already quietly, subconsciously switching to jumps mode, aren't we? But I mean, Chester, it is still a track where you know, it's come here in soft ground time and again. They even come wide sometimes when it gets soft at Chester at this time of year. And this race last year was won by Al Karim, who is a prominent racer, a lot of form on soft ground. He finished second to Hamish in the St. Simon on deep ground after he won this race. And he beat Blue Stocking in this race, actually. So form of that looks pretty good. She's run so many good races since and won big races since. So I just didn't think there was anything wrong with Al Karim, who obviously was well beaten by Alassie last time. But that was a return to something like his best. And if he's in good form, he probably should be the solid option and favourite.
Okay, we've really confused you now, because there's two votes for La Yekel, one vote for Al Karim, and one each way poke for Harbour. What's it called again, Johnny? Harbour.
Star Harbour.
Star Harbour. I forgot the star. Star Harbour for Johnny Pearson. Moving on to the 240. It is the Watergate Cup. It's over 2 miles. This is going to take a bit of getting, folks. And Tashkan is currently 11-2, joint favourite with Emin. Then Vera Verto, who stays all day long, Vera Verto is 13-2. It is 15-2 a bit, Sophie. Aquam is also a 15-2 shot, and it is 9-1 Spirit Mixer. 10-1 Bar, Tashkan, currently our favourite. Ed, this is a nice, juicy race to get stuck into, and I have a feeling you've found one for us here.
Well, first of all, it is a juicy race. It's a competitive race, and once again, we're going extra place in this race, but I do have a strong fancy on this race, and my selection is Tashkan, who, when you look at the form figures, it doesn't jump out at you, but if you look behind the form figures, then I think you'll certainly think this horse is a little bit overpriced. We're doing this recording on Thursday, and this price won't exist, but I can see 14-1 offer. We're 11-2, and I think that'll be more like his price. The reason being, he's won on heavy going at Chester. I don't know whether it was this race, because it was 2 miles, 2.5 furlongs on heavy ground at the end of September. But this race is called the same race, but it's over 2 miles. And this is not the same conditions. I think the race he won last year was 4-year-olds plus. I think this is 3-year-olds plus. But anyway, he's won at this time of year at Chester on heavy ground. And that puts him, you know, better made for this race than a lot of these horses. He's also been running in better races. If you look through his career, he is getting on now, relatively speaking, six, but he's been running in group races. He's been placed on heavy going and soft going in group ones over this sort of distance. His handicap mark is coming back down to the figures that he won off. I think he won this race or this race like this off 105, maybe, was it? He's now on 108, having dropped a few pounds. He loves the ground. I think in three of his six wins have had soft in the description. He's got a lot going for him. And the final piece of the jigsaw for me is they've visored him for the first time, trying to recapture a bit of his old form. He was third in Cesarewitch. He's a classy handicapper, as we know. Hasn't had much racing this season. I just thought he was a standout each way play at around about 6-1. And I thought he had a great chance.
And as you said, he's 14-1 elsewhere. Is Mr. Unibet himself telling viewers to go maybe shopping around, perhaps?
I don't think that will be there by the time this comes out. I think that's well, it'll be well, in, which is why I've said it. Because I think it'll be around about 60s or 13-2.
If you fancy an 11-2 shot with Unibet, who's 14-1 elsewhere, I think it's we'll allow a little exception there, Ed. So it is Tashkan for Ed. And for you, Johnny Pearson, who is it?
I'm not going to have the bet in this race. There's a couple of ones that are interesting. Vera Verto was his second last time in Killarney. The second behind Pridwin, who goes to Dortmund on Sunday for the German Ledger, which some people probably get excited about, no doubt. Chris Cook being one of them, I imagine. He loves a bit of German racing. And Spirit Mixer won there last. I'm not sure about the ground, but I remember backing Arabian Queen many years ago when she won the Judmont at 50-1, just beating Golden Horn, I think it was. So it'd be nice to see Spirit Mixer run well, but it's not a race I'm going to have a bet in myself.
I like the way you just slotted in there that you actually backed whatever.
Slotted in the most illogical winner there's ever been. I backed the most unforeseeable winner there is ever on God's earth.
Yeah, sure. Everybody knew Golden Horn was going to be beaten. Like, with blatantly obvious. Yeah, well done, Johnny, on backing your. Well, what price did you put? You probably got about 100-1, did you?
It's 50. Sylvester D'Souza was on fire that season, I think, if I remember rightly.
Mid
2010s, he was the best jockey in the country, wasn't he? So.
Right, Keith, sign us off with a winner in this staying contest.
Well, Ed's teed me up a little bit because, this race, I'm going to call it this race, even though it was 2 or 3 weeks later and over a little bit further. Tashkan won it from stall 6. He's now stall 9. Second in that race was Emin, who was stall 1 then and stall 1 now. Since has been second in the Chester Cup, is on better terms with Tashkan than he was this time last year. Tashkan has been third in the Cez and third in the, is it one of those group ones at Longstrom? I can't remember. It's the Royal Oak.
Yeah.
One of the other ones. The Royal Oak. So it's a lot going for Emin here. He's come back and basically been saved again for this race. He'd second in the Chester Cup and ran again later that month and not run since. Draw couldn't have been kinder. Just an awful lot going. Now, another horse that shortly after declarations was a lot bigger than the current sort of 6-1. I think you may be getting a little bit of sevens elsewhere, but the market will settle down and make him favourite in Tashkan second or third, I would imagine. While that's still the case, I'm all keen for Emin, and the two of them should be right up there again. You know, as we described in the last race, Chester in the autumn is a slightly different beast, but it's still a real specialist scaff. So I thought he was the one.
Beautiful. And then moving on to the big race of the weekend. It's the best race anywhere in the world this weekend. It is, of course, the Royal Bahrain Irish Champion Stakes at 325 at Leopardstown. And currently, best price in the industry, 11-8 favourite, is Economics. Auguste Rodin is 3-1, 13-2 Los Angeles. Ghost Rider 12-1, Luxembourg 14-1. We give you a full show just because it's the Irish Champion Stakes. Shin Emperor, the Japanese contender, 16-1, 50-1 about Royal Ride. And presumably, the pace-setting Hans Andersen is 200-1. Well, I went through this race on Wednesday night and had a good long look, and I said, right, we've got to take on Economics here. Let's get Economics beaten. I came out about a couple of hours later thinking Economics will not be beaten. I think 11-8 is actually decent value. He's the improving horse in the race. I think the race will be run to suit. I think the fact that there's only the 8 runners is actually going to suit him as well. I think the fact that he's drawn a little bit wide in stall 8, actually very wide because it's the widest stall, I actually think could potentially play to his strengths as well, because he's not going to get boxed up on the inside like so many unlucky losers at Leopardstown at the Irish Champions Festival. So I think economics will be a ghost road end, and I don't think 11 to 8 is a bad price. Love the way he hits the line. It's economics for me. For you, Keith?
I think economics could beat City of Troy. I know I'm saying it provocatively. They're very different horses.
Right, keep pricing up for me, right? If City of Troy, Watson Old Breeders' Cup was going here on the back of his Judmont win, what price is City of Troy against economics?
Well, he's good. City of Troy is favourite against economics, if he runs. But it depends on the race you get. You know, a race where it's a change of gear in the last two furlongs, economics beats him. This horse quickens up like something else. The way did it in the Dante, the way did it in France. If there's a race where they've got to pick up in the last three furlongs, I don't think there's a middle distance race in the world he couldn't win. He's proper horse. I hope he goes out there and does his thing. I still have my doubts about what happened at York. Say hit his head on the stalls, didn't see it in the replay, and didn't see him for 3 months after. So I hope they can keep him sound. But the talent's there. The talent's there to a greater extent than just about any horse in training.
Economics for Keith. I don't think it's economics for Johnny Pearson, though.
I suspect this is an annoying race, this. I think there's a lot of potential there. But, he won well enough last time out in France. But the way he bled, clearly bled quite badly at York, and there's not really been much said about it. They won't want me saying anything about it, and, I'm only speculating. But I'm pretty sure it was visible on the TV cameras that day, and that wasn't from a headbang, as far as I could tell. We wouldn't have been away for 3 months if it was the case. And I think if he gets, if he gets put under a lot of pressure, is something possibly going to go wrong there again? Hopefully not, but I'd have my reservations about backing the horse at a short price. Well, Gus Road, and God knows what that horse is going to do. If he wins, well done. But it's not a horse I can entertain backing. I've actually come down on Ghostwriter at an each way price. He's got pretty good runs in behind City of Troy, notable speech. Over in France is behind Luc de Vega, his favourite for the Arc now. He's going to be seen on Sunday in France again in the Arc trial and the pre-nil. And a huge price for a horse that's been running well and consistently all season long.
Beautiful. Ghost Rider for Johnny, bursting our economics bubble there. Ed, are you an economics fan?
No. Obviously, you can't not but like him. He looks a lovely horse to watch, and it could be anything, as Keith has alluded to. But I thought each of the first four in the market, there were question marks. High-class question marks, but question marks about each of them. I mean, economics, there's the question marks about he is typical horse with William Haggis, who'd been given time, but back in May, he was said that he was going to need a lot of time. And he came back in France in a race he should have won, and he did win really easily. But this is a step up again. I mean, everyone's saying that he is potentially a very good horse, but he's yet to prove it against even these sort of horses. So I thought that economics was a bit short in the betting, although, obviously betting editors know more than I do, but I thought there were two or three horses that had a chance of beating him. So 11 to 8, just by pure economics or mass, suggested to me that maybe that he was worth taking on. Auguste Rodin, obviously the sculptor is known for the thinker, and the racehorse is known for being a thinker, and I couldn't be having him the way he's run a few occasions. Los Angeles is probably the most straightforward of the top four in terms of he's done it and he's improving. He's won the Irish Derby. He's been placed in the Derby and would have chances. Ghost Rider has yet to prove he's a Group 1 winning horse. He's won well last time, but he finished a long way behind City of Troy. So by process of elimination and giving the odds on offer, I went for Luxembourg each way at 14 to 1. Now, the reason being, cheek pieces on first time. I'm not too sure how they're going to run him, if they're going to run him like a secondary pacemaker, which would be a concern. But in the King George, he ran his race by the time he was a horse going the best with 3 furlongs to go and just ran out of petrol. I mean, it may have been that he was a pacemaker too for the day, but he's won this race last year. He was second in it as well the previous year. He obviously likes the track. He will be second in as they turn the corner he'll have track position. And at 14 to 1, he's still good. He ran to a mark of 120 in the Coronation Cup only a few months ago. So he's not a back number. And that figure would put him everywhere near as good as a horse as the air, any of the top four in the betting. So at 14 to 1, I'm going to do a Johnny Pearson. I don't necessarily think he'll win, but I think he's got a chance of being placed at 14 to 1.
Sure, who comes to the Racing Postcast for winners anyway? Like, we don't want winners.
The amount of time I've sat there and gone, is Luxembourg a little bit big here, lads? All through his career, but he is under, you know, it's funny how these are Brian horses go, isn't it? Because you get some of them like Auguste Rodin that are revered and they always go a favourite. And City of Troy's been a bit like that. He's delivered more than Auguste Rodin has, obviously. And then you get horses like Luxembourg that are just, they turn up all the time. They run big races. He's won umpteen Group Ones. And yet he doesn't get the love. He's always too big.
It's always about the next one. It's always about the next one. Don't worry about the one that's just gone. It's about the next one.
I think it's almost certainly what it is, isn't it? But no, I mean, Luxembourg a little bit like Ghostwriter, like definitely viable winners. But if they do win, there's two or three that haven't turned up.
Yeah, absolutely.
One more thing on Ghostwriter. I think you'll know fairly early on in the run. He was very, very keen at York. You watch the replay, you see him going around the bend. Richard Kingsgate sort of struggling to rein him back. So I think he actually probably ran better than it looks on the how far back he's finished behind City of Troy based on that. But if he doesn't settle, I think you'll know pretty early on he won't be winning the race at that point.
Okay. The top two on your screen at the minute are with Economics. It is Ghostwriter for Johnny Pearson. And Ed is staying loyal to Luxembourg. That's the Irish Champion Stakes. Any other fancies on Saturday before we reveal the maps? Ed, anything for us on Saturday that we haven't spoken about?
Saturday, but Sunday, I'll be at Bath, where they run the Summer Series Finals, which is a really good initiative. It's for the horses that are rated lower than horses we might talk about on ITV. But there's like a £50,000 prize fund for the final. And I'm there most of the year, and so I get to know the horses. And there's the sprint final on Sunday, the 4:20, 15 grand to the winner, highest rated horse is 75. I'm going for a horse that's won 8 times at Bath and been placed on a further occasion, has been laid out for this race. I was talking to his owner, Monica Teversham, at the last meeting, and they just wanted to get it qualified for the final. That race was over 5 furlongs. It's won 6 of his 8 over the 5.5. As well handicapped based upon having won this race off 75 in 2019 and 67 just 12 months ago. He's much, much further down the handicap now. And the horse is called Delegate This Lord. Loves soft ground, loves Bath. It's apparently soft at the moment, has been laid out for this race. And if he does win, it'll be the record number of wins at Bath post-war. He'll go to 9, which has never been done before.
Beautiful. I like post-war. I love post-war as a suffix to that whole thing. Post-war, like there was some horse at Bath in the 20s that just went absolutely wild and turned up every week. It's great. I love that post-war.
It's basically because I can't work out if there was one before 1945.
Brilliant. We look forward to that at Bath on Sunday. Keith, anything else over the weekend?
Well, I'm going to be giving that race at Bath a good study on Sunday. Not until Dex, though. I'm waiting until Dex before I start looking at that field. But it's a race I have in mind to have a good look at. There's a minor fancy at Lingfield, 2:35 on Saturday. I have just today watched Michaela's boys run at Chepstow. His horse isn't long gone to Robert Cowell, and exactly the sort of horse that Cowell will do well with. It's a bit of a tearaway 5 furlong horse. And he's just been getting it ready the first 2 runs, I think. And he ran at Chepstow last time. First time he's ever run at a course like Chepstow that's sort of ups and its downs. And he went through the race pretty well, tied up a little bit at the end. And now he goes to Lingfield. Got a really good record of the all-weather, 2 from 6 in the all-weather, whereas he's like 1 from 17 on turf. So he's probably going to be a bit of an all-weather horse over the 5 furlongs this winter, potentially. Lingfield, proper speed track, if you can get him handling the ups and downs, and I think Chepstow might have been a little bit of a sighter to get him used to an undulating track, and I think he might go a little bit under the radar for this race. So yeah, I'll be having a small bit, it's a little bit of a harebrained theory behind it, I don't doubt that, so it'll be a slightly speculative bet, but I will be backing Michaela's boy in the 2:35 at Lingfield.
Michaela's boy, brilliant. Johnny, anything else for you on over the weekend?
A few bits and pieces. The 2:50 at Leopardstown on Saturday is the Matron Stakes. We've got Porter Fortuna, who's looked much the best filly miler this season. Fallen Angel, who won the Irish I thought she was a little bit flattered that day, had the run the race in the front, and it wasn't too quick a pace. For all, she was impressive. And you've got Ilan Ilang, who's a bit of an enigma based on what we've seen so far this season. But I think Jancis for Willie McCreary might run a big race there. She's two from two, and I think she's been pretty impressive both.
Why
spots.
Is Billy Lee not riding her? Why is he riding first for Attilio instead? Bizarre.
Well, I don't know, but I think she's looked really good, Jancis, so far. I don't know about you, DJ. I presume you've seen her as well.
Absolutely. I was flabbergasted when I seen the jockey bookings, I have to say.
Mm. So, yeah, that is a little bit of an odd one, but I do think there's a good horse in there. And then we've got our trials day in France on Sunday. Mm. We've got Blue Stocking, Emily Upjohn, Opera Singer all running in the pre of the mill, and that's bound to be a good race. Do we know who's riding Emily Upjohn? Will it be Kieran Schumacher again, I imagine? I'm sure you'll have something to say about that after the race, DJ. And we've got the pre-nail, the Arc Trial with Luc de Vega in there. And I like Delius. I've liked Delius for a long time. I think they need to ride more prominent, though. Getting too far back and giving the horse no chance last time. I think there's a proper horse in there.
Brilliant. Excellent. So now it's nap time. Best bets of the weekend. I'm going to get in there first because I have a feeling that somebody might try to steal it. I'm going to get in there first. If I have to go somewhere else, I will. And if somebody else wants to nap this horse, but I'm going to go with Cover Up in the Portland Stakes. So Cover Up in the 2.25 at Doncaster on Saturday. Cover Up for me. Currently, I think an 8-1 shot with Unibet. Sorry, boys. Keith, best bet of the weekend?
What was your alternative, DJ?
Economics.
I thought you were going to say that because I'm going for the economics because you took Cover Up.
We'll do the double. Economics for you in the Irish Champions Stakes. I'm liking this so far. I'm liking this lucky 15 so far. We've got an 8-1 shot. We've got 11-8 shot. So we've two up. Johnny, what have you got for us?
I'm going for Poet Master in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster.
Oh, you like him. 6-1 shot, Poet Master. Nice. Right, Ed, don't let us down. What have you got for us?
Well, I'll probably let you down, but I'm going the 2.40 at Chester. Tashkan, who loves heavy ground, has won at Chester. And is becoming quite well weighted based upon the ratings from last year and the races in which he's been running in. So, yeah, Tashkan for me in the 2.40 at Chester.
Beautiful. There you go. That's our lucky 15 for our strongest fancies of the weekend here on the Racing Postcast brought to you by Unibet. So my thanks to Keith Melrose, to Johnny Pearson, to Ed Nicholson. We'll be back next Thursday, of course, once again at 7 o'clock for another weekend preview. And if you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to us. Until next time, enjoy the racing, and don't forget to gamble responsibly. Enjoy your weekend.